Hi, Liberators. This is Tiffany Coleman with yet another episode of Interesting People. Today, I have a special guest. I actually met her through Instagram, and believe it or not, we crossed paths and we didn't realize it at the same church. Her name is Candace Young, and she is a financial coach and a credit expert. And you can find her on Instagram, and her handle is Your Credit Queen. And you can reach her that way. But she is also an alum of my alma mater, Virginia Union University. And she hails from New York City, Manhattan, to be exact. I like to present to some and to introduce to others, Miss Candace Young. Thank you for being on the show.
So excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So money is... You know, I think something that a lot of people have anxiety about and angst about. And then if we get deeper, credit, like people have issues with their credit. Like I have issues with my credit. I don't know many people who don't have issues with my credit. I think the person I know for sure who had like pristine credit was my grandmother. And like she had a score that was, I don't even know if they could calculate it. Like that's how good her credit was. So this, we're going to start right at the gate at the basic step of it. What is credit? Like what is it? How do we define it?
So how we define credit is it's the amount of money that someone is willing to lend you based mm-hmm. on trust and the expectation that you're going to pay it back with interest. Mm-hmm. So very basic definition of credit is just how much money somebody would lend you. Based on how much they believe whether or not you're going to pay them or not.
Okay. So be that as it may, I know one of my issues was, and I'll just be really transparent, is I didn't want to pay people back. Like I got the money, but I don't want to pay you back. I really don't. That's terrible. And now if I loan somebody some money, I want my money back. But these credit, I don't want to pay you back. Right. So I'm sure that is not the way to properly utilize credit. But how do you, I'm a bad example. How do we properly utilize credit? What's the deal there?
How you properly utilize credit is to, so basically, so I wrote some notes as it relates to properly utilizing credit, right?
Go for it. Please.
You use your credit cards, right? But you don't mm-hmm. spend what you don't have. So people have this idea that, right? And just like, listen, I was the same way, right? In college, mm-hmm. I opened a credit card and it charged off. Worst thing that you could let happen, right? It's not like you mm-hmm. missed one payment. You missed several payments, right? Mm-hmm. And again, $25 minimum payments, I could have paid it. And I just didn't. I just didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. using your credit cards, but not spending what you don't have. So going to the store on a Thursday and purchasing something on credit and saying tomorrow when I get paid, I'm going to pay it off. That's utilizing your credit in the right way, right? Now, obviously there's way bigger scales. And if you take out a business loan, you're not going to pay it back the next day when you get paid. But at a very small scale, right? Like mm-hmm. you have to keep your balance under, it's a very funny number, but under 33%. Right. So a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people run their credit up to the max and then they see their credit score suffer and they think, you know, well, what did I do wrong? I'm utilizing my credit card, but you're utilizing too much of it and you're looking as though you're depending on it. And folks get scared, right? Like creditors get scared of that. They're like, well, they're utilizing way too much of their balance, means they need it, means they mm-hmm. don't have money to pay for other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Pay on time. This has to be the most important thing, right? And even though I, being fully transparent, I struggled with that throughout college when I got my first credit card, but paying on time is the most impactful thing you could do when you're utilizing credit. If you make a late payment and they report that to the credit bureaus, that can last on your credit for years, right? Just one late mm-hmm. payment. So when we think about that, we say, oh, like some people don't even know when their due date is. And they're like, yeah, I'll pay it when I get some money. No, you need to pay whatever you can on that due date. Mm-hmm. Another way to utilize credit and make sure your credit score stays up is to not close accounts. people think, you know, maybe they get a new shiny credit card with a higher balance and a lower interest rate, so they're like, I'm gonna close this old one. If that's been your ride or die, if that's been your card since you were in your 20s, and you know it's the small balance, like, don't close it. Like, use it for gas and pay it off, right? And keep a card paid down for emergencies. So for me, I think like the biggest thing when it comes to credit is if you're in a jam and you don't have the cash, you have that credit card to lean on. So
Right.
lots of people will, you know, will find themselves without the cash for something, and anything can happen. Your car, your washing machine could break down, right? Like, if you live in a house that you own, or if you're renting a house, these are all things that, you know, if you don't have the money for, if your credit is in tip-top shape, maybe you don't have the credit card now, but you can open a credit line and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. So that would be the last point.
Gotcha. So it's good to have credit as an option when you don't have the actual
Correct.
financial means, but it
Utilize it
also
as an option.
right, not have it be something that you're dependent upon.
That's
Gotcha.
right. That's right.
So, okay. So credit essentially is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I think that's probably the first thing I want to kind of do away with, is because there are a lot of people who are afraid, just simply afraid, because they don't necessarily know how to use a credit card, or you know, some relative of theirs who didn't know how to use it told them, don't do it, it's a trap, don't do it, it's a trap, when necessarily credit can be a nice fallback option, a nice, you
Absolutely.
know, a safety net even. Now, when you talked about something that I just kind of want to hit on a little bit, you talked about the scales of things. So how does this same idea apply to like a bit like the business loan or a car note or something like that? How does that process, how does that apply to this?
So when it comes down to it, right, if you get a loan for 200 grand and you're going to start a business, right, you've got to be, the thing about it is you've got to be smart and you've got to plan ahead of time, and you have to know that you're going to get the return enough to at least pay on your loan. Always just pay it, right? So a car note, you might buy a $30,000 car. That car note's due on the 25th of each month. If you find yourself in a jam and you're not able to pay that, you need to call them. You need to maybe set up two payments, maybe break it up, but do everything except not pay on a big loan, right? Like, everything in the, like, there's, when I was repairing my credit for the first time, there was things popping up from a car I didn't even have anymore. It was a late payment. And I'm like, I don't even drive that car anymore, and it's still haunting me. So when I tell you, I can't stress enough how important it is to pay on time. And another quick tip, if you pay a portion of it, say on the first, and the rest of it on the 15th, and it's due on the 15th, that looks like two payments, right? So in the credit bureau's mind, like, you're really doing well by this loan, right? So all of this applies as long as you just have to pay on time. Just pay either early or on your due date.
Now, Pete, now I'm guilty of probably abusing the grace period. What's the so what's the deal with the grace period? Like, what's the best way? How do you utilize that? How do you not get it taken away from you? Which I have done, I had happened a few times or two. But how do we, how, what is that for? How do we utilize it, and how do we not get it taken away?
So the grace period is just that. They're going to give you grace if you find yourself in a jam, right? So lots of people will, you know, and I'm guilty of it too, will abuse the grace period. But the reality with the grace period is you shouldn't use it unless you need to. So if you're thinking in your mind, right, you're processing your bills and you're like, oh, but I got a grace period on this one, so I'm going to pay that next payday or something to that effect, that's not prioritizing it, and falling back on the grace period is probably the biggest mistake people make. So if you've got the funds and you can pay, just pay it on the due date, right? Now, Nothing's going to hit your credit until you're 30 days late, right? But still, if you think about the person who's lending you the money, they're like, well, every month, it's due on the 20th, she pays on the 30th, right? Mm-hmm. Every month. So it's something going on there where she's not able to get it in by the due date. And then lots of people are flexible. If you call, if you're up to date and current and call and say, hey, I need to change the due date to the 15th, the first isn't working, typically they'll do that for you. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we use the grace period if we need to. You shouldn't use the grace period just because it's there.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, but do you necessarily have to contact them every time you want to use it?
Not necessarily, but you've got to kind of stay organized with how many times you've used it. So if you find yourself coming up on the fifth or sixth time that year, you know, you got to kind of reevaluate, like maybe I should change my due date, or, you know, maybe I do need to see about this payment amount. Maybe I need to ask them if there's something they can do for me to lower the amount. You don't need to contact them. You can utilize it as necessary, but you just shouldn't overuse it.
Okay. And will it re-up at the end of the calendar year?
It depends. So some companies go rolling calendar, right? So if they're like, oh, she used it May, June, July, and here we are May, June, July, right? Kind of rolls off. And most folks will say like, no, like, you know, it's cool, but it really depends on the creditor and the person that's given the, yeah.
I should have had you in the room when I got my car loan. Anyway. Yeah. All right, so looking at credit and all of this stuff, if our credit is in bad shape, for the listeners and viewers who have credit that are in bad shape, or hosts of some show that we may or may not be listening to, or may or may not, you know, I'm not pointing any fingers. For those people who have credit that is in bad shape, how do we repair it, and then what are some of the first steps we should take?
Absolutely. When it comes to repairing your credit, I think that a lot of my clients come to me and they think they have this awful credit, and we pull their credit report and it's not that bad. Okay. So I think the first thing that we need to focus on is what's actually on your credit report, like pull it, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't really necessarily recommend like other credit businesses per se, right? But there's places you can pull it online for free. Right? Mm-hmm. Pulls your whole credit report. It's not as user friendly. So like you got to read through it. You got to kind of understand it, but you can pull it for free. You can print it and be done with it, right? Online. Mm-hmm. And look at what's on there, right? And then call me. No, I'm kidding. But seriously, right? Like a lot of people, it's just like trying to lose weight, or it's just like people will hire a trainer and then they'll try to repair their credit on their own. Yeah, it you know, you're going to probably need help, especially if you're not understanding what's on that credit report, right? You can totally do research and you could totally, you know, pay some things off. But I'll be the first to tell you, I've had clients come to me and say, I paid off $2,000 worth of debt and I didn't see an increase in my credit score. Yeah, well, that debt didn't matter, right? There is actual debt on people's credit reports that don't matter. Which is why, you know, the whole dispute process takes place. So, yeah, I'm telling you, it's so sad to see people spend their hard-earned money on these collection accounts and it does nothing for their credit score. Now, don't get me wrong. Sure, is it a plus in your notebook that you paid off a debt? Sure, but if it's not doing anything for your credit score, I mean, what's the point? You know, like, who cares? So, contact your creditors. Get in touch with them. Say, hey, look, I owe you $2,000. Like, what can we do about this? They're always going to have some sort of deal for you, right? And these are for my DIY guys, right? Like, some people will contact the Candace and say, hey, I need help. And some people are going to go out there and try to, you know, face it on their own, which is fine, too. But definitely consider credit repair. Once you contact those creditors, it can be very overwhelming. You can contact three or four people and they could say, you owe this much, you need to pay this much a month, it's getting ready to go to collections. That can be very overwhelming. So definitely consider credit repair, right? Or, you know, Google credit repair to death and see what you can maybe do on your own. But really, it's something that if you're struggling with it, you should certainly contact like a professional for sure.
Okay. Now, you said something that kind of really just got my interest. You said there are some things that don't do anything for your credit. Like, yep, you paid it off and it didn't do anything to boost your credit score. Mm-hmm. What, that to me seems like a trap. Like, what is that?
Oh, it's a big trap. Hold on. Let me look up this note real quick, because when I tell you, because I'm always writing down stuff about credit and money and all of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it comes to collections, right? Let me see here. Your credit score is made to age out of your credit score. So when you pay a collection account, they appear mm-hmm. as new accounts on your credit report because you're adding new payment history to them. That was the point I wanted to make, right? So when you think about that, anytime you pay something off, it almost resets it and it doesn't do anything for your credit. So what you have to do it, girl, it's a mess. It's a mess, I'm telling you. So what you have to do is you have to go through a credit repair company, right, and dispute those debts so that they can be removed. They're not removed because you pay them. They're removed because you dispute them. You say, hey, I've paid this debt off. I need you to take it off.
That my is credit report. Wild.
I'm telling you, it's so much to it. This is why I tell people, like, you really can't do it on your own. And this is why I do what I do, because I want my people to succeed financially. And there's just so much that we don't know. Mm-hmm. So somebody makes money off of our poor financial decisions. You know what I mean?
Or our lack of knowledge.
I intentionally position myself. Like, once I started buying my home and I started seeing what credit did for people, I intentionally positioned myself in a way where I could help other people get their credit together and then live the way they want to live. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you, there was an example. I listened to a podcast not too long ago, and the young lady said she paid off $30,000 in debt and her credit score went up 12 points. I wanted to throw up.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is, you go in there, like, what's crazy is some of these institutions, I'm not going to name any names, but they'll have a little option that'll say, oh, do you want to dispute this, right?
Right, I've done that.
When they make it convenient for you, it's not convenient for the consumer. The more convenient it looks, it'll pop up in a year or 2 years. It'll pop back up. You have to formally dispute these debts, and that's through a credit repair company.
What? Like, yes, okay, girl. Because
I'm telling you,
I thought I was doing something when I said I wanted to dispute this.
A lot of people do, and you know what? They'll send you an email and say, "Hey, Tiffany, this has been removed, and in 2 years, you'll go to try to buy a car, and pull your credit, and it could be up there because it wasn't formally disputed over your credit report to come off permanently."
So the best way, it seems like, could we contact the bureau directly and talk to somebody? Would that make a difference? Or do we need somebody who has the lingo and the jargon to talk to them about this issue?
You don't even, here's the thing, right? You'll spend 2-3 hours trying to get through to the credit bureaus. The thing that they have to respond to legally are dispute letters. Legally, they have to respond within 30 days. There are laws about it. So if a consumer says, yes, there are big laws about it. If a consumer says, for example, you probably know what a cease and desist letter is, right?
Yes.
If someone sends a cease and desist letter and that person contacts the consumer, that's rights for all types of, you know, cases, right? Like, that's types for all mm-hmm. types of lawsuits, right? So with the credit bureau, there are laws that say if a consumer formally disputes a charge, disputes an item on their credit report, they have to respond within 30 days. That's number mm-hmm. one. And they have to come up with proof. And the issue is some of these companies are out of business. They're never going to respond. And guess what? Legally, they got to remove that from your credit report. Some of these companies have sold your debt. Legally, they need to come up with proof that says that this is your debt. And so many companies can't do that. They end up just removing the debt. But so many of us don't know that.
Wait a minute, hold the phone. They sold my debt. What does that mean?
So, for example, let's say you get a credit card with a bank. Let's say, I don't know, BB&T. You get a credit card with them, right? Uh-huh. You go to collections. Uh-huh. You don't pay it. You go to collections. You charge off. They can sell your debt to a third-party vendor so that the third-party vendor can collect on it. And what happens is now BB&T doesn't have that debt anymore. And it's not BB&T who you got beef with no more. It's whoever this third-party vendor is. So when
they
just
make money off of selling my debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They sell it because there's a call center somewhere and people are steady dialing out and they're going to call Tiffany. Hi, can you pay? Tiffany, hi, can you pay? And that's easier for BB&T doesn't want their people, not them specifically. Let me not say that.
Right,
but just,
right.
You know, companies don't want their people having to make these collection calls. They don't have the bandwidth for that. Right. They're doing all type of other things. So they sell it. The third party vendor buys it. And then once they collect the money on it because they're going to harass you for however long. And most people just pay.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Wow. It's really crazy. That's why I had to get so, I had to like immerse myself in this because I was like the lack of education in our community, you know, is really concerning. And my mom told me, don't get no credit cards. Credit cards are bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And whole time, right? Like I've got a few credit cards and I utilize them properly and they have actually made me money. You know, like they've actually helped me make more money because I have money that's not my cash money earned that I can make purchases with. And then when I'm ready, I can pay for those purchases.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So, and that's how you make it make money, how you make a credit card and make it make money. Wait.
Absolutely.
I confused myself.
Yes. No. Go ahead. Say it.
Okay. Wait. Okay. So you use the credit card to help you make money. Mm-hmm. How did getting a line of credit or credit card, and that kind of leads into my next question too, is are credit cards good or bad? But how did you utilize your credit card to make money off of it?
So here's the thing, right? I utilized my credit. So when I first repaired my credit and got a credit card, my credit limit was like $500. It was like nothing. Okay. But I was so diligent with that credit card that when I applied for my next credit card, they gave it to me with a very low interest rate. So if you think about that process, right, it's not that me utilizing my credit card made me money, but it helped the creditors and people who loan money trust me and give me more. So now my credit limit is going up. I'm getting approved for other credit cards. And now I have more money to move around and leverage and invest in my business and all these different things that I can pay back. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a ripple effect. That makes sense.
Your personal credit is, the better your business credit will be. And the more money you'll get for your business loan if you need one.
And that's a whole nother show that I could honestly do about business credit because that's a thing.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. You got to be damn near perfect. Like, business credit is really tough. Like you have to be really on your, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's on everything.
Wow. Okay. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole today, but that's actually something I would like to come back to. Yeah. For sure. So I know some folks may be watching who or listening who may think about home ownership. And home ownership, I think for a lot of people is the goal. Like that's where you want to be. And home ownership is something that I want as well, but I don't know if I'm ready for it. I don't know how to go about it, but is it worth pursuing and why or why not?
Home ownership is definitely worth pursuing. And that's just period. Right. Okay. And the reason I say that is because, for example, if you take me, for example, right, being completely transparent, I bought this condo in 2017. It's mine. I own it.
Free and clear.
And I plan to, move in maybe a few years and use this as a rental property. right?
Okay.
So there's residual income right there.
Right. Exactly.
Right. That's for starters. But secondly, right, my neighborhood is they're building up all around my neighborhood. And now the equity in this condo is so great that if I wanted to pull out the money that has, you know, kind of just, it's kind of grown since I bought the condo, like the property value is up, I can pull out a fat loan and do whatever I want with it. I could fix the house up. I could start a business. I could do whatever. I could refinance and cut my mortgage basically in half. And now I have this space. I have residual income. I got maybe 50 grand in equity, just kind of, that's my money. And I can refinance, which means my monthly, that's your biggest bill. Everybody's biggest bill is their mortgage. But my mm-hmm. monthly mortgage could be basically cut in half, right?
If you refinance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you think about, you know, home ownership, it's like, okay, you could live in an apartment where they'll raise your rent, you know, potentially every year, and you'll be paying more than what you would pay for a mortgage. And you don't own it. You can't knock a wall down. If you paint a wall, you got to paint it back white. You know what I mean? Like, I lived in apartments forever, and I apartment hopped. I lived in all apartments all over Richmond. I lived in, what is that, Short Pump area, right? I lived in on Hull Street Road, downtown. I lived in, they were beautiful. None of them were mine. At the end of the day, I had to pack my stuff, and I had to go, right? Mm-hmm. Once the lease was up. So for me, home ownership should be the goal. It is a lot of people's goal. And the reason is because this is that your home could make you money potentially if you play it right. You know, if you play it right, your home could make you money. So that's another piece. And property, just owning property in these days is just huge.
Yes.
It's major key. It's huge. And can't nobody come to my door, knock on my door and say nothing or do nothing. This mine right here.
So it is something worth pursuing and worth going after.
Absolutely,
for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. It's and that's something that's scary for people too, because it's a big, first of all, it's a lot of money, and houses are not cheap. They are not cheap. And if you're in an area like you are where they're building up and stuff like that, it's hard. The cost is more. Like, it costs more to have a house in areas like that.
Yeah.
So just to kind of like piggyback off of this question, we're both Black women. Is it harder as Black women to be able to get a house and get a loan and all that other stuff for us?
I'm going to say that systematically, due to lack of education and credit, it could be harder, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. If I think about, you know, my boyfriend was just telling me a story about somebody that their father left them a house, right? And they were, you know, they're not Black, you know. Mm-hmm. Their father left them a house free and clear, like it's paid off. And, you know, when I think about my friends and the kind of people I grew up with, like, that's not going to happen for us. You know, nobody's leaving. Rare. Nobody, unfortunately, right? Like, nobody's leaving me a house. Like, it's on me to buy a house. So when you think about that piece, it's sort of like, you know, you find it difficult to start off and find the bits and pieces. We don't. Typically, growing up in our type of environment, nobody says, let me make you an authorized user on my credit card so you can start to build your credit. Or, you know, let me put this bill in your name that I pay every month with, you know, without a doubt. Nobody really does that and sets us up so that we're successful. So we find ourselves where, okay, now I want to buy a house, and we pull our credit report and we're like, damn, this is going to delay me like a year or two because I got to figure out what's going on and why I don't have the credit for it. And another thing is they'll tell you, oh, all you need is a 625 to get a house. And that's true. That's all you need. But your interest rate going to be through the roof. So you're going to pay, you could pay double for a house because the interest rate is so high. Right. And so many people are so thirsty to buy a house that they find themselves in these predicaments. Right. Yeah. So I think because personal experience, like we didn't learn about credit, we didn't know. And then coming from New York City, like nobody buys houses. So
no, it's also they don't. About everybody where you lives grew an up. Apartment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also about where you grew up, right? Like I never would have thought I would have owned a house by 30. Like that's crazy, you know? Mm. So it's just one of those things where I do think depending on how you grew up, and then I know some people that, you know, that are Black women whose parents were hip to credit and, you know, they took care of them. So for me, I think it's more of a how you grew up, what education you had while you were growing up. Did your people buy a house? Did they talk mm-hmm. to you about how important it was to buy a house? So I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, a demographic in that way. I think it's more about how you grew up, the environment you grew up in. Anybody I grew up with, none of us thought about buying houses at all. Like mm-hmm. it was never a thing. You wanted a bomb apartment downtown. Like that's what you wanted. Like you never would have pictured yourself purchasing a home. And gotcha. I think it has a lot to do with that for sure.
Wow. Well, so lack of education, where you grew up can be a factor. And just not knowing how to play this game. I mean, and I don't want to reduce it to a game, but there is a way that you can move the pieces so that everything is in your favor.
You got it. That's a fact.
Yeah. 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 So when we want to buy a house, what are some of the first things that we should do?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. So a lot of people, so I'll tell you this, is I'll start off by saying that saving is an art. And so many people don't know how to save. And so many people think that, well, if I have student loan debt, like I can't save. Like, no, you should still save a little bit. But save money, because learning to live on a budget and being very strategic about your spending is a big piece of being a homeowner. So absolutely, absolutely learn the art of saving.
Okay.
Put yourself on a budget. Know that when you buy your first home, like something's going to cost. There's going to be a big cost. People like the people you buy houses from, your realtors, your lenders will tell you, don't make any big purchases the first year you buy a house, because something's going to come up and you're going to need that money. So don't buy brand new furniture. Don't buy, you know, a new car because you bought a new house. Just buy your house and see how things play out. Mm-hmm. So save, research, right? Like I think that sometimes people end up in homes or neighborhoods that aren't necessarily a preference, but they're like, I got a house. Yeah, but it's such a huge purchase. Like take your time, you know? So research and take your time. So I decided I wanted to buy a house at like 27. I didn't buy my first house till 30. I took my time. I pulled my credit. I worked on my credit. I didn't want the minimum score, right? So research neighborhoods. Go to those neighborhoods at night, in the morning, in the middle of the day. See what's going on, right? Make sure you feel safe there. And that credit score, I'm telling you. They will tell you in a heartbeat. They will say, all you need is a 650, and you will get to that 651 mark, and you go buy a house, your interest rate be sky high. And you pay damn near half, you pay damn near double what that house costs because the interest is that high.
Dang. So, yeah.
So I would say, yep. So save, research, take your time, and work on your credit.
So I'm taking notes as we...
Good. That's awesome. I'm so glad.
So just a little bit of a segue. So I'm sure people have heard of FICO.
Yeah.
What is the difference between your credit score and your FICO score?
So your FICO score is your credit score, basically, right? Like it's just fancy name. Yeah, it's just a fancy name. And the thing about it is it's inclusive of all three credit bureaus. So to go back to what I was talking about when it comes to dispute letters, what happens with that is a lot of people, their FICO score won't increase because maybe they sent the letter to just one credit bureau, but the other credit bureau has that debt on it, you know? So holistically, your score won't increase unless you work on that FICO score, like all of it inclusive of all three credit bureaus.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Because I noticed that your FICO score can be like a one digit or two digit number, whereas your credit score can be like a three digit number. But,
Right. It's like grades. Right. Right. Yeah.
Gotcha. And then, yeah, okay. And then there, and people also have to remember that there are three different credit bureaus, and you should probably know which credit bureau your creditor is going
That's correct. Which is
to make
why,
sure.
right, which is why when you go to do dispute letters, right, like you have to say, you have to send the letter to all three credit bureaus. So when it comes down to it, right, it doesn't matter who has the debt. If you see it that it's if to you when you're viewing it, it looks like it's just on TransUnion, doesn't matter. You need to dispute it with all three credit bureaus.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work to get your credit in good shape. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it is a lot of work. But what I will say that it's just like anything else that you want to tackle in life, right? I always go back to the losing weight example because folks think like they'll go to the gym and they'll kill themselves on the treadmill and eat spinach all day and they'll lose weight. And maybe that'll work. But the reality is, if you know nothing about getting fit, if you know nothing about nutrition, you have to hire a trainer and maybe a nutritionist. It's the same type of concept, right? So it could be hard if you can't if you consistently try to tackle it on your own. Credit is something that a lot of us just need a little bit of help with. And you don't need somebody to, you don't need to sit in a class for credit, but you probably need a little bit of help, a few pointers, and just get in touch with somebody, just hit somebody up and say, hey, can I pick your brain? Can I ask a few questions? So I personally, I have a consultation that's 15 for 15, right? So if you know your credit score and you know what's going on and you just need some pointers on where to go, that's the consultation for you, right? The my free consultation are for folks that have no idea where to start. They're like, look, I don't even know what my credit score is, blah, blah, blah. But folks that know, and maybe I could just give them a couple pointers to just send them on their way, 15 for 15.
That's good. Okay. So just so y'all know, these are some of the services that the Credit Queen does. So, yeah. So you said 15 for 15, which means 15 minutes and $15. Is that what I'm thinking? Okay.
Yep,
And then
ma'am.
you said there was a free consultation that you do, which is just kind of how you doing.
And they don't know what's going on.
So will you research it for them, or what do they get for that free consultation?
So for the free consult, what I would do is I would introduce them to my protection program that also embodies credit restoration, credit repair. And we would talk about whether they want to enroll in my program. So they would say, hey, this is what I have going on. This is what I know. And I just kind of have no idea where to start. Mostly people will say, oh, I know there's like this old credit card, or I know there's student loans up there, but they don't know how credit works. They just don't know, anything to really, they don't have a foundation. I'm going to introduce them to my program. Like you should probably, because some folks, it could be very simple. It could be one or two things they need to do differently and they'll see an increase. But some folks need to start from the bottom, from the foundation, and probably get into an actual credit repair program.
Okay. So that's good to know. That's good to know. But you said a curse word in there earlier. Student loans. I hate them so much.
They're
Like
such
I
a they're a curse word. They really it really is. It really is. I know.
So, okay. So let's get down to this. I know this, we have kind of gone off topic, y'all,
That's
and
all right.
everything I have thrown at her, she has like knocked it out of the park. So y'all don't even know what's off topic and what's not, except this one. So student loans are, it's like a ball and chain. Like it's bad euphemism for a black person, but like a, it's like a bad, I don't know. It's like a dark
It's like a
cloud. There we go. It's
cloud.
like,
Yes.
yes,
Yes.
a rain tsunami cloud, if you
Absolutely.
will, that
Absolutely.
kind of goes with you. So first of all, do the student loans affect your credit?
So it depends, right? And this is where it gets very specific to somebody's situation. So okay. student loans could affect your credit score depending on who your student loans are with, right? And okay. this is, again, this is typically where folks will need to potentially enroll in my program so we could take a look together and see, right? Okay. And then there's some student loans that, you know, maybe you're making a minimum payment every month and, you know, they're not necessarily doing anything good for your credit, but they're not doing anything bad to it, right?
Okay.
And so I think where people end up really kind of messing up is all of these deferments, not reaching out to the...
Oh dear, ladies and gentlemen, I think we lost connection. Ah, there we go. There we go.
Sorry about that. It's my bad. That was my mom calling.
it's okay.
So yeah, Mama Bear. So yeah, so I think that when it comes down to it, right, like there are specific I'm so sorry. I'm back.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to have to answer while I'm in this interview so she's probably freaking out. So let me text her actually until I call her back. So yeah, okay. So when it comes to student loans, it just depends. It really just depends on who you have them out with, and that will determine. Gosh. I'm so
Mama,
sorry.
Give me a Mama second to has text, is so. Gonna reach. Yeah, is trying.
Ma
to
is
reach
not.
You.
She's not playing. I'm like, don't.
So just to let y'all know, Ma is in Manhattan. She's up in New York, and her baby is down in Virginia, and she is trying to get in touch. And you know, and I find it easiest that when we have some stuff going on that I can explain, I will explain it, and we will move through it, and it's gonna be just fine.
I'm so sorry. She may call back. I apologize. It's okay. And I tried to text her. It ain't going through.
It's okay.
So again, it's one of those variables that depends. So a lot of my clients or a lot of my consultations, folks will say, can you take this student loan off? And I'm like, I don't know until we get in there and we actually send a letter to the credit bureaus and see, you know, who this debt is mm-hmm. with and why and how long. So yeah, to answer your question, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Life happens. It's happening all around us. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something you have to kind of take on a case by case basis.
Yeah. And they can be removed. They can
really
be because yeah, they fall under the same category as any other debt. So if they don't reply in 30 days, like we talked about earlier, if they mm-hmm. don't reply, they fall under the same category. So I've had clients wow. have student loans removed. Absolutely.
Like large amount of student loans?
Mm-hmm. A nice amount.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. That's an interesting piece of information.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll tell you, that's something that I learned after getting into this business. At first, I was like, those are the things that are going to go to the grave with you. And my mentor started to scroll through some results and she's like, you know, just kind of showing me like, look, like this is the impact we're having. And I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, wait, I said, somebody got a student loan removed? She was like, yeah, girl. And she started scrolling through and I saw all of these people getting student loans removed. And I was just like, wow, I was completely taken aback. I was like, listen, could sign me up because I need to, I got a few I need to get, you know, taken off. So it's just incredible what'll happen when we know that these things are possible, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is mind blowing. That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
So all is not lost if you have a student loan debt.
All is not lost. That's and I purchased my first home with a really bomb credit score with student loans on my credit report. So,
wow.
Yeah. You can still make moves for sure, but you should absolutely make them a priority and find out what you can do if you can get them off or if you can, you know, pay them a decent amount, not, you know, the $500 or $600 a month they try to tell people like, sir, ma'am, nobody's paying that. Not at all.
That's good to know. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So right now, especially with the climate we're dealing with COVID-19, a lot of people are jobless. We've got a lot going on right now. A lot of people are afraid when it comes to money matters. How can we help them cope, especially in this moment that you and I are having together? And how
Absolutely.
can credit help them cope in moments like this?
So
Or
for
can
me,
credit help?
it can. Credit can, it could, credit is what you make it, right? So for me, I think that there's a term for that. It's financial anxiety. And when you, there's a term, and it's very heavy. And it's very heavy in the community where, for one, it's either you was poor when you were little, and so now that you make a little money, you don't want to spend anything because you're scared of, running out of money. And then obviously, to your point, there's folks who are losing their jobs and their finances are, slowly slipping through their fingers. And I think the first thing is you have to be real with yourself about your situation. So if you are in your own way financially, you have to come to terms with that, and you have to admit that it's you that's standing in your way, right? You, if you were, if you are someone who lost your job, you cannot continue to live and move the way you moved when you had the income that you had. That's just period. And people will try to hold on to a particular like lifestyle. And I don't mean nothing fancy. I'm talking like brunch every Sunday. You can't do that no more, right? Like you gotta cut back. So be realistic about your situation and allocate your money where it needs to be, right? Get in touch with people that you owe money to, right? Say, hey, look, this is the situation. They're almost always going to have some sort of option for you. It may not always work, but they'll have options, right? Get in touch with these folks. Say, look, this is my situation. And besides being real with yourself about your situation and contacting anybody you owe money, I think the biggest thing for me is being open to opportunity. So for me, I was open to this opportunity to become a credit consultant and expert and financial coach, right? Like I was open to new opportunities. I was open to an additional stream of income. And so many people are like, oh, like, that girl's selling Herbalife, or, this girl's doing this and doing that. Like, I mean, listen, in the world we live in, like you need multiple streams of income. So
You do.
you have to be open to opportunities that are out there, and you got to believe in it. Sure, it has to be something that you believe in and that you enjoy doing, but you really need to seek out, opportunities and be open to them. So many people miss out on, these huge opportunities. My mentor makes six figures doing what I do full time, right? And he lives on his own terms. He, answers the phone when he wants to answer the phone. He vacations when he wants to vacation. He chose that lifestyle. He worked for it. He built himself up to be in this place, all because he was open to a new opportunity. So there's just all of these people around us doing these really wonderful things, and you can't get stuck in this place like, well, my 9-to-5 fired me. Like, I just got to find another 9-to-5. Like, no, like, be open to these opportunities that are out here.
So encouragement. So it sounds like a lot of it has to do with also just people expanding their minds and seeing, allowing yourself to see a different possibility, not
Big
something that you're
time.
necessarily not used to.
Big time. Yeah, and you got a budget. When money tight, you got a budget. And I live on a budget regularly. So right now I have a September budget challenge out. I have about 10 participants, and every day in September, we're doing something to secure the bag, so to speak, right? Something that will help you get your finances in order for the last few months of the year. But budgeting is major, and so many people think they're on a budget, but if you don't know how much money's coming out of your house and how much is coming in, and I mean to the T, like how
To
much
the
do you spend on
penny.
groceries, right? To the penny, and where you can cut back, you're not budgeting. I need to see a spreadsheet. I need to see some sort of notebook that says, listen, this is how much I spend on entertainment. This is how much my brows, it costs to do my eyebrows. Like, you've got to be down to the last penny if you think you're gonna, if you're trying to actually be on a budget.
So you're beating us, a lot of us, into shape right now. It's a little uncomfortable. but you know, whatever. Guess he's not coming on the show again. Anyway, so
I love that.
I'm kidding. So
no, I know.
Just to kind of, you know, and I think we've kind of covered it already. Been playing with a spoon the whole time. I need to, it ends up in the frame. I need to stop. Anyway, okay. So we've kind of covered it a little bit already, but I just kind of want to make sure we reiterate for people that credit is not something to be afraid of. Is I just kind of want to come back around to it. Is credit a bottomless pit? Is there, once you're in it, you can't get out?
I'll tell you. It's like life, like it's literally what you make it. So if you make it a bottomless pit, that's what it's gonna be. If you make it, if you make it of something that adds value to your life, that's what it'll be. So I've seen people, I mean, within a month, just ruin their credit, trash it. And they open every credit card that comes in the mail that says pre-approved, they apply for it. They start using the credit card, you know, maybe they make a payment, maybe they don't, you know, they purchase a car that's way outside of their range, right? They're living way outside of their means, and they ruin their credit. And now, yeah, they can't get out of it. And they have a negative outlook on credit. They're like, oh, this is terrible. They gave me all this money and they expected me to pay it back. And now I can't. And now my credit score is in the 400s. Yeah, you did that. That was your fault. Like, you did it. It was you. And when you think about the joys of credit, when you think about, like, somebody telling you 3% interest rate on your house and you're approved for this, no down payment, you can drive off the lot with whatever you want. And, you know, like, when you think about how you can invest and how you can live better by having a good credit score and utilizing it properly, that's when it starts to be an asset. And not, you know, and not this scary thing that you should just stay away from. And, you know, there's people, there's grown folks with no credit because they never got a credit card. They don't have a bad credit score, but they ain't got no credit. So nobody's going to trust you. Nobody knows, right? So it's what you make it. It's what you make it. And if you're smart about it, it will absolutely work for you and put you in a better position to succeed.
And so I think that's also, that kind of leads into my next question. I think that's how we stop helping, how we stop being afraid of it, is I think we have to kind of change the narrative behind what credit is, how it can be utilized, how it can be helpful in various situations.
It's mindset for sure. It's absolutely mindset. So when you think about it, even if you're deep in debt and you're in a hole, you have to understand that there's a way out, right? Get you some help, get out of that hole, and then educate yourself. So many people don't know that you should keep your balance under 33%. So many people don't pay off, right? So many people don't pay off the balance every month, right? So many people don't do these different things that will make credit be an asset for you, that they convince themselves that it's bad. They're like, oh, it's terrible. Like, never get a credit card ever, because when I did this and this happened. Yeah, well, you didn't do it right. So, you know, somebody can offer somebody a $20,000 credit line and they could trash it. Somebody could become a millionaire because they'll invest it and they'll pay it on time and they'll do what they need to do with it, right? It's literally educating yourself and understanding, you know, how to utilize it properly, how to make it work for you, and not using it as income. It's not income. Somebody lent it to you. Oh no, I think I might have lost you. You froze up a little bit. No, maybe. I wonder, should I leave and come back? Oh no. I'll just hang out for a second. Maybe she'll come back.
Hi, Liberators. This is Tiffany Coleman again. I'm so sorry. We had an interruption with the first part of the episode. So I want to go back and get a couple of things that we talked about, and then we're going to finish it up. So for some of you, this is part two of our Money Matters talk with Ms. Candace Young, who is the Credit Queen. And she's been giving us some wonderful insights on how on credit and how to utilize it, which I think is so important. And the question that we were talking about before the interruption happened is we're talking about changing the narrative about credit so we can help people stop being afraid of it. And how do we change the narrative? What do we need to do? How do we reframe it? Where do we go? If somebody's like today, hey, I want to stop being afraid of this thing, where do we go from here?
For me, I think what's worked so well for me is the education piece, is understanding what credit is, understanding what it can do for you, and understanding that it could get ugly, right? Like if you don't do what you need to do and you don't properly handle your credit, it could get bad for you, right? And, you know, I've seen people not get approved for apartments or even bank accounts, right? Like you need credit for everything. I mean, there's like everything, everywhere you go. I remember a couple of years ago going to Ideal Image for laser hair removal. They pulled my credit, right? Like they pulled my credit. Like I could have paid it free and clear. They still pulled my credit because this is something I was like, wow, okay. I didn't know that was going to happen, right? So when you think about all the things that you need credit for, it's worth educating yourself. It's worth at least trying, right? So not being afraid of it by you know, just never utilizing it, but try it, right? There are people that I meet who are not fans of credit. Understandable, right? But you don't know if you're a fan of credit if you don't try it, just like anything else. So besides the things that you have to use your credit for, car notes, apartments, you know, renting certain things, renting a car, right? What are you doing on an individual level to utilize credit and understand it? Have you tried a secured card, right? Maybe your score is not good enough to get just a regular credit card. Try a secured card, right? And consistently educate yourself. Read up on it. Read up on what's the best way to utilize it. Read up on what's the best way to pay it. And just continue to educate yourself. So when you know so much about something, it can't hurt you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when when you are really, really educated about something, you know the ins and outs, it can't hurt you.
Yeah.
But if you go into the world thinking like, oh, somebody just gave me $1,000, like, yeah, of course it's going to be bad. Of course you're not going to, you're going to hate credit cards and hate creditors because they're calling you 10 times a day because 3 years ago they lent you $1,000 and you just stopped paying them.
They want their money back.
That's it. Just like anybody who wants their money back.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This has been so like informative. Like my mind was blown a couple of times in a good way. And you also kind of like helped me to realize there's some things I got to get into shape. Also I appreciate you because I will be hitting you up. But I think that's another tool we need to utilize, y'all. And for those who are listening, I'm pointing at her. People like you, we need to utilize you because you do a great service for people to help them not to be afraid of it, to actually give people action steps and set goals that they can achieve to help them get to where it is they want to be.
Thank you.
And if somebody wants to utilize your services and contact you, and y'all know how we can be, but this is a service she is providing and you need to be willing to pay her for her services. This is not something that is free and it shouldn't be because she's doing some serious work that's going to help you for years to come. So we need to be prepared to pay her, and she's not that inexpensive. It's not that inexpensive. Start off $15 for $15. Just don't get your coffee 5 days a week. Just do it for 1 week. Don't get no coffee.
That's it.
Make it at home. Make it at home, y'all. Make you have a Keurig. You know when you have a Keurig. Exactly. Exactly.
Get you some K-cups.
So if we want to utilize your services and pay you for said services, where do we go and how do we find you?
So typically I'm very active on my Instagram, which is Your Credit Queen. That's my handle. Mm-hmm. You can friend me on Facebook. I'm huge on Facebook as well. I've got a ton of friends and, you know, I'm happy to accept new faces that want to do business and learn about their credit. And absolutely. My name is Candace Young. There are probably a few others to pull up, but my handle is on my bio. So that's how you'll be able to know. It'll say Your Credit Queen in my bio on Facebook. But yeah, and my email. I know it's a little long, but it's Candace Young, which is my first and last name.
Mm-hmm.
And Co. So ANDCO.
Mm-hmm.
At Gmail.
And I'll also post that in the description below, as well as her Instagram handle and all of that stuff. Nice. And yes, I secretly stalk her on Instagram. And ditto. I had to kind of have had to have her on the show. And so I thought it was we need to help each other. And y'all, when y'all go see her, don't ask her for no freebies. This is not what this is about. Okay. So I don't want my listeners coming to her with no mess. You got to come there ready to work and ready to hear the truth about what it is going on. Cause don't get in your feelings. Cause we got to, if you want to get it right, you got to get this work done. And just based off of the discussion I've had with her tonight, she's going to shoot straight with you. So
you already know. Well,
exactly. a little too straight. But you know, it is what it is. So hit her up on Instagram so we can level up. 2020 has been a bad year. Let's finish strong. And get our credit in line. Okay. That's one thing we can't control. A lot of stuff out here we can't control that's going on. I won't say 2020 has been bad, but it's been rough in a lot of ways. This is something we can control, we can fix, and we can put our hands on it and get to what, and it'll get us to a better place, y'all. So come on, let's level up.
Let's do it. I'm here for you.
Candace, it has been a complete joy and an honor to have you on the show. I would love to have you back to talk about business credit, because that's something that I think will help us too if we're going to be entrepreneurs and stuff. And we can set that up at a later date. But please hit her up and let her know how great this was. And then also just to get you, let's get ourselves in order.
Let's do it. I look forward to hearing from you guys, and it was absolutely an honor and pleasure to be here today. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And as always, Liberators, you can go to www.liberated-media.com to find out the latest and greatest of Liberated Media, as well as hit us up on Facebook. And y'all, I'm working on an Instagram page. I just don't feel like it, okay? But I'm working on it. I'm trying to build it. So just be patient with me. But always remember, when you deal with anyone, always deal with them in honesty and integrity, because it is always the truth that sets us free.